This is a Forwardly podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Colin.
Hi, it's Cadence.
Oh, boy. And, oh, boy.
So normally, let me just preface this with normally we wouldn't do a back-to-back Travolta.
Oh, you're
Travolta.
Just jumping right into it.
No, no, no. We wouldn't do back-to-back Travolta marathon, but Colin said I could choose for my birthday, and so I chose
Hold on. Movie. That's what I was saying. So this is Cadence's birthday special, extravaganza. Her birthday is in November, coming up very shortly. So this is her episode. And like she said, we would normally do a John Travolta back-to-back. We know it's a little repetitive, but this is one of the movies we giggled at so hard when we watched it.
So much.
Crying, laughing, because it's really good. It's really powerful, really emotional.
We were giggling because we were so uncomfortable with how much we were feeling.
We were feeling so much. The power behind this message and the acting and everything is so good that we just had to bring it to you for Katie's birthday extravaganza.
I mean, and also, I mean, statistically speaking, if you're going to watch a B-movie, there's like a 40% chance John Travolta's going to be in it.
Yeah, somewhere down the line, John Travolta's career just kind of...
The numbers are in his favor.
Okay, well, without giving you the title yet, we're going to give you a little background on this. So John Travolta obviously was in production with this. He was helping with it.
Oh, he was its biggest champion.
He was its biggest champion. And he... Cadence can quote it, but he literally was quoted saying...
This is going to be... as powerful as Schindler's List, and it will be this Schindler's List of space movies.
Yes, you guys, he really said that about this movie, and I think it was received that way. I think a lot of people really thought that same thing. Mm-hmm. And when we watched it, that's why we were giggling, because we were uncomfortable because it was so powerful.
You know, sometimes when you are like, yeah, you're experiencing something so much that like the wrong emotion comes out.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Well, we were just moved by it, and we just giggled with emotion.
Okay, so the movie is, you say it, say what the movie is.
Battlefield Earth, dun, Saga dun, dun. Of the Year 3000.
Saga of the Year 3000. And this movie deals with a lot, you guys. We have aliens, we have humans, we have office talk, we have office politics, we have HR files, we have board meetings,
we have first dates.
Security cameras, we have a lot of stuff that
we have conniving, we have backstabbing, we have office transfers.
We have a lot of leverage in the office world to become the new HR manager of the spaceship.
You guys, it is leverage porn. It is leverage porn.
When we first watched this movie, we were giggling about how much the word leverage came up. And then Cadence, while we were rewatching it, it came up 200 times more than we thought it was. And we just kept joking. After watching it, we were just like, leverage, I have leverage on you.
Yes, we've been quoting leverage for like a year or 2 years since we watched it. And then I was like, yeah, watching it again, it's like... In my mind, it's a lot of leverage talk, but in real life, it's like 10 times
more leverage talk
than I remember.
It's just all leverage over everyone else to climb that office ladder, because that's what space aliens do.
Listen, when you want to get transferred to the home planet, you will do whatever
You'll get whatever
takes.
Kind of leverage you can get. All right, so we're going to jump in with a real quick summary. It's really complicated, so try to hold on. Try to take notes. So it's 3,000 years in the future. Human race has almost been destroyed by the aliens, the Cyclos. Not cyclones. And the Cyclos have come and they've kind of set up like a satellite office on Earth. You could just call it an office, let's say. And they've kind of been like herding man people. Not humans, man people. Because it's space talk,
animals.
You guys.
Oh, man animals.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, you just have to do it. You say the rest. I can't. I keep forgetting the names. I'm getting too emotional about it.
I know. Sometimes when we feel a lot of stuff, like it kind of stops our brain from functioning. And I get it. This is one of those times where the emotion's just a little too overwhelming.
I just not used to be called the man animal. I just can't do it. I hate to be called a man animal.
There's going to be a lot of things in this movie where I know L. Ron Hubbard originally wrote it. And I know he didn't necessarily write the screenplay. So I'm not sure where the language originated, but there's a lot of stuff that will come up that's like, I think they thought it sounded like sci-fi-ish, but it's so stupid. And one of them is man animal.
Well, I'm thinking to myself, you guys are aliens, smart aliens. Just think of a shorter word, man animal. Just call it man. Just call it man.
No, but that's the irony, is they add an extra word to everything, which makes it so much less efficient.
I know.
And all they do is talk about how efficient they are.
Cyclos, you are efficient.
They call it breath gas. They call it man animal.
Just call it air and man.
They call it pinto cameras. Like, come on.
Just call it a security camera. Call it a camera. No, they're cyclos, you know, they have a whole different world. We don't know. We don't know their language, but they are very efficient, but they choose the longest names to say something.
Yeah, so I'm just prefacing that. So anyway, as Colin said, mankind is almost extinct because the cyclos have come from space. They have converted Earth into a home office. They have killed almost all of the man animals. The rest of the man animals are at a human processing plant where they go through kind of like a, not necessarily a training, but they're like, listen, you're useless, except for you can do ABC manual labor for us. We'll you keep can, you until you,
you
die.
You can work in the mail room, sorting the mail for the big Earth office we have. It is hectic down there. And Brenda the Cyclos, she just cannot handle all the work. Brenda's down there just so stressed out trying
lots
to process the paperwork.
To be made.
Lots of copies, pictographs to be reviewed. So they're training them how to be like the lowest end of the office.
The interns.
The interns.
All the man animals are just interns.
The cyclos are wearing like business suits and the interns are wearing like untucked button ups. Anyway, I digress.
So you've got your main hero. Johnny Goodboy?
Johnny Goodboy. Don't get too... Let's just not even give a summary, okay? Let's just get into it. You guys, we can't give a summary. We're just going to jump into the movie.
The humans are fighting back, okay?
The humans are fighting back, okay?
Classic rebellion movie.
They want to take over the office. They want to have the Earth as the main office headquarters. They want to make Earth the
They're
number
like,
one.
No more transfers.
And basically,
this is the home base.
The whole movie is just humans getting leverage over the cyclos, okay? Let's just put it at that okay. and dive okay. into the movie. Let's begin. Is 3000 AD, okay? We are introduced to Johnny Goodboy. I can't even get through the beginning because it's so bad. We're introduced to Johnny Goodboy.
His
and he...
literal character's name is Johnny Goodboy. I can't get over it.
Because in the future, when everyone's almost dead, you have to come up with new names. And that's the only words that were left over. Johnny Goodboy. From the old Good Boy clan. And you know right off the bat that Johnny Goodboy is a warrior. He's got this horse. He's got this whistle that he does to get his horse to come to him. It's very never-ending story, Atreyu. And he's, it's just, so he comes to his tribe in the mountains. There's only a little bit of him. He's the only good boy in the camp, his family name. And his, is it his wife, I believe?
It's his woman.
It's his woman. I'm sorry, they don't say wife in the future.
This is in the future. There's no wives.
There's no wives. His woman breaks the news to him that the cyclos or the gods have taken his father.
Oh, no. Oh,
and
no.
Johnny Goodboy is more like Johnny Mad Boy right now. He's got to go find his dad.
So they're playing a mind game with you that they... Because it's like tribal people and they're all wearing like animal skins and riding horses and living in yurts. You're like, is this the past?
Is this the past? Are these Native Americans?
Mm-hmm. But no, as Colin said, it's the future. And they're the last of the human race. And so they're kind of telling these stories around the campfire about how the people are dying out and who's going to be the one to fulfill the prophecy. And they're looking around like...
It's obviously got to be Johnny Goodboy.
I was going to make a joke about, like, not Johnny Bad Boy.
Johnny Goodboy, he's going to do it. And, I mean, he's already riled up because his dad's been captured, so he's already ready to fulfill these prophecies.
Oh, he's 100% out the door. And his woman's like, can I go with you? I know that you think that because I'm not a man, I can't go. And he's like, no, 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 no. You're better than all the men here. You're definitely Janie Goodwoman. It's just that all of your skills, like, they're going to be better served here. The village needs to eat. Like, you got to help them.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, that sounds reasonable. Bye.
So he starts off on his mission to go find his dad. And first things first in his mission, it's kind of like all the different things you pass, like all the different, like, never-ending story, like the Sphinx. He comes across this monstrous beast and he starts beating this monstrous beast with a golf club that he found on the ground. And it turns out that it's not a monstrous beast. It's a leftover dinosaur from a putt-putt golf. The humans, the one thing that lasted for 3,000 years was a fucking dinosaur from a putt-putt game. And he's hitting it. And then he realizes that it's not hitting back. And he goes, oh, so you're the monster that everyone's so scared about. Who is scared about a moss-covered putt-putt dinosaur that doesn't move?
It's completely still.
Everyone's been like, do you see that monster over there? Hasn't moved in 3,000 fucking years. But everyone's so scared of it. We gotta hit it with a golf club.
Johnny Goodboy is in this putt-putt, and he's navigating the wilds of the putt-putt golf course when he comes across.
It's not only a dinosaur that survived. It's like a giant penguin. But you guys, it's all covered in greenery, so you know it's been a long time.
Yeah, like ivy, it's been a while.
Instantly, you're devastated. What happened to Earth if putt-putt? But also, I just have a question, okay? This putt-putt golf course, this magic puppet, it's like in the top of the mountains. Like, did the whole Earth's crust change, or who decided to put a putt-putt golf in the top of a mountain?
You trek like a massive trail to get to the top just so you can putt-putt.
Because the camera zooms out and you see the rest of the course, but it's literally like up in the Alps. It's bizarre.
It's
anyway,
magnificent.
I digress.
So he comes across a couple of other man animals and they're like, we're going to fucking kill you because we're hunting. And then, okay, so they have this whole conversation where they're like, gonna have a fight, you know? And then I kid you not. The other two humans are like, wait, we're hunting. We don't have time to do this. And they just it's so bizarre.
You know what? We were going to kill you. We're the last of the human race. We were thinking about it, but we got to go hunt. Bye.
That's what they say. And I rewound it even just to make sure, because they start kind of squealing at each other like it's going to be a showdown. And then he's like, wait,
We're busy. We got to hunt.
We gotta go. So they decide they're gonna team up because they're all man animals. They're all looking for food. They're all trying to save their people.
Johnny Goodboy's got a different mission, though. He's still trying to avenge his dad, but he doesn't let them know that. He's just coming
to hunt.
But
he's also trying to find food for his people because they're also starving.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a double.
It's a double mission. He's gonna, if he catches a rabbit or a deer out there, he's going to bring it back while looking for his dad that the cyclist got.
He'll kind of toss it as he drives by and be like, here, I found this, but I still got to be looking for my dad. So they take him to a city because Johnny Goodboy, I'm guessing, just hasn't really ventured that far beyond his tribe.
I mean, with that scary dinosaur that hasn't moved for years.
They've only made it that far and gotten scared and then come back.
Yeah, exactly. Now that he realizes that was a big ruse.
He's like, ah, shit. So they take him to this abandoned old city, right? And they're like, this is where you sort of get what I think they were trying to lay out was the mythology. Mm-hmm. So they were like,
look, frozen ones. The way to the great god village is marked by these frozen ones. The gods left this world. They ordered man not to look at them. Those that disobeyed were frozen in place for all of eternity. The gods lived here. They could fly through the air. They drive the chariots in front of special caves with golden arches. Golden. And the food would magically appear.
When the sun goes down, you can see the rest of the gods in the night sky. They're the bright lights up there watching down on us.
Oh, no, come.
It makes zero sense, but they're implying that something came out of the sky, and now all the man animals are gone, and these giant structures are left behind, which they just call all of the structures caves. And so
and then they choose to go to the best cave of all.
There's a cave over there. And it's a giant abandoned mall.
cave over there that says JCPenney and Mervyn's and Urban Outfitters, and they go to a mall.
Hot Topic.
And I'm just, yeah, it's like a Hot Topic. But my question is they walk into the mall and they're like, oh, poor fellas, looking at these mannequins, right?
Right.
You guys, certain things deteriorate a lot faster than others, and I don't think mannequins are going to survive.
They're going to stand the test of time.
If the buildings are dilapidated to the point of it just being rust, I don't think putt-putt dinosaurs and mannequins and the Hot Topic sign is still glowing.
There are things that happen towards the end of this movie, but like, just keep this in mind the entire time. It's been 1,000 years.
Yeah, you guys.
1,000 years. Okay. Yeah. So keep that in mind. Everything they're coming in contact with has been sitting around for 1,000 years.
And those mannequins just look ripe as rain. You could just pick those up and he could style them right away. Also, you're a man animal. You're not an idiot. Those clearly aren't people, but they're like, oh, those poor guys. I'm like, come on.
They got frozen by those sky gods.
They were frozen, those guards. So they pick this mall to go into for safety. They build a fire. Mm-hmm. They're talking. Mm-hmm. You guys.
They immediately bust out like 3 very common like cliches just straight out of the gate. They're like, the grass is always greener on the other side. Always thinking it's better. Another one's like, a good woman is hard to find. Yeah, and I'm like,
just like make an awkward man people conversation. The man animal conversation. He's like, how are things going at your hut? But I would like to set the stage that as they're having these very riveting conversations, there's this really, I think the director was trying to go for this like right. post-apocalyptic because the whole thing is lime green, you guys.
It's green.
It's green.
And it's the sideways.
The camera's sideways the whole time, lime green. You guys, while they're just chatting, everything's fine. You think they have their cave. Nope. They get attacked by cyclos.
And this sequence can be summed up in like, maybe 10 seconds. They get chased in slow-mo. There's lots of glass breaking. Everything's still in green.
Everything's still sideways.
Everything's sideways.
Really
end result is the same. They all get captured by a cyclo's airship. It's like an air cage, essentially. And they're all transported to the human processing center.
Cyclo's must be really smart if they can get their spaceships in that old mall, get past those chain fences that come down. I don't get it.
I mean, they've been doing this for 1,000 years, so they've got a very airtight system, if you know what I mean. Just absolutely nothing gets by them.
Nothing. All right, so those poor man animals, they got caught. Those little cages lifting them up in the air. They're panicking. They're taking.
Also, they've never been in a plane before. They're tribal, so they're flipping the fuck out. They're like, where are we?
They're like, man, we shouldn't have been so scared about that damn dinosaur. No, this is way more terrifying. I take all those years I was scared of a fucking putt-putt dinosaur. This is way more terrifying. So they're taken up. They're given these little nose things because they can't breathe the same like air that's up in the spaceship. Right. It's like this giant mothership above Earth, just right. kind of watching out for things, just kind of watching out for man animals. And this is where we are introduced to John Travolta's character.
Yeah, because he's the head honcho, okay? So he's the head security advisor over this facility. Mm-hmm. And that's his title.
You guys,
okay,
it's hard. It's a tough ship to run. No pun intended. He had to go to alien school for this. He had to get his master's in distributing man animals.
He went to the academy, Colin.
I know.
He went to the academy.
As we learn later, as he's at the space bar, but we're jumping too far ahead. Okay. So let's
all right,
go back.
So this is kind of just where we meet our two main characters in the same place at the same time. Johnny Goodboy has been delivered to the Human Processing Center, the very Human Processing Center that John Travolta is the executive director of. And so Johnny Goodboy immediately tries to escape because he's brave and strong.
Yes, his name is, he's holding up that Goodboy name.
He has.
But before you go any further, I just have to paint a visual for those who haven't seen the movie. You guys, these cyclo aliens, they are very different looking than humans in a lot of ways. They have dreadlocks. They have grayish kind of skin. And they have 6 fingers. Other than that, they're completely and entirely human.
Their 6th finger is total cartilage to us.
It doesn't even move in the scenes. It's clearly a glued-on pinky.
No muscles are bones. It so serves
So that sixth finger doesn't really do a lot for them, but they're cyclo aliens.
It literally serves no purpose.
Their faces are the same. There's no anything.
They are very tall. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're like 8 feet tall.
Well, they're very tall because they've got these really fashionable boots on. When they went to the mall to pick up the humans, they stopped at a Hot Topic and got some platforms. And they're like, the man animals knew one thing, and it is footwear to make you taller.
Definitely putting this on my Tinder profile. 8'8".
If the sixth finger doesn't intimidate man people, then our height will.
And the man animals just haven't figured that out. They're like, how are they so much bigger than us?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's so stupid, you guys. Okay, so yes, okay. We digress. John Travolta meets Johnny Goodboy. And
yes.
You guys, Johnny Goodboy is brave. And
yeah, he tries to escape. He's like, I'm not even scared of this. Well, now that I've been in a flying prison, like nothing scares me.
Now that I defeated
me,
the dinosaur of 1,000 years.
I'm immediately going to escape. He gives 0 bucks. He tries to run away. He doesn't make it very far, but he does steal one of the guns of the cyclos and shoots and kills.
The cyclos guns are very different than guns on Earth, you guys, because they are a different... Nope, they're the same shape and everything. There's even a safety. John Travolta's like, they just think man animals are so dumb that they could pop. He's like, there's no way. Let him try to shoot a gun. Mm-hmm. And all he has to do is take off the safety.
Because he walks.
It's a close up of a regular gun, except there's a little space triangle and you have to click the safety off and then you can shoot it. And you guess what?
Space triangle.
You guys, guess what? Johnny Goodboy is also Johnny Smartboy. He figured out the safety and he turned it off and he shot one of the cyclos.
Okay, because let me just break it down for you. The whole reason John Travolta needs to know why this cyclo died is because he has to fill out paperwork.
He's got... The head planet will not. They will deduct his pay if he doesn't do the right paperwork. And John Travolta's got to get all these interns going, and it's just stressful.
He's like, listen, I have to fill out this paperwork. HR is never going to believe me if they hear that a man animal shot a cyclo. There's no way man animal can do this.
They cannot turn off that safety.
He says...
And you are out of your skull bone if you think that I'm going to write on the report shot by man animal as the cause of death unless I see it.
Skull bone.
Yeah, saying skull bone, that's why you're not being efficient. That's why you've got so much paperwork backed up.
Yeah, well, if you add up all those extra words. It's so much time. So anyway, his test is, okay, well then give the man animal a gun and see what happens. See if he can really shoot it. And as Colin said, he figures out the complicated device that is the gun, shoots another cyclo dies. This is how heartless John Travolta is. He doesn't care. Mm-mm. He's just like, well, I'll be darned. He did shoot him. I will have to put that on the paperwork. I guess I was wrong. Let's head to the bar.
Underestimated these human animals. Man animals.
Man animals. How dare you?
All right. So after a really tough day on site with the man animals and that whole gun fiasco.
I'm filling out that paperwork.
John Travolta is just so boggled as to how that man animal figured out the gun. He's still thinking about it. So any day you've had a stressful day at work and one of your coworkers has died and you had to fill out all the paperwork, what do you guys do? You go to the space bar and you drink space alcohol, which is
called Kerbango. Thank you very much.
Kerbango, the alcohol of space, and it's green, so you know it's space juice.
Kerbango?
It's just a bar setting, and John Travolta's character is talking to the bartender, and the bartender kind of is like feeding him information, I guess.
Right.
He's, bartenders know everything. They know all the hot goss.
They hear everything. They people are drunk. They always have their ears open, so the goss is flowing constantly.
And the bartender's giving him free drinks, and he's like, when the best cyclo does such a good job, he gets transferred out of this facility and goes to another space office. Gotta give him free Kerbango. Uh-huh. But then you also learn how heartless John Travolta is, because this poor bartender has been serving this Kerbango to all these overworked people, and all he wants is for his son getting the goss to feed to John Travolta, and all he wants in return for his years of dedication is so that his son can go to space school.
Like,
Because space school is really expensive in the Cyclone world, just like the United States and the world. Space school does not pay for itself, and his space son did not get a scholarship in creative writing.
Because he's a bartender.
Because he came up with words like skull bones and him and a man animal, so he failed his test. And so this bartender's just like, you told me that you would get my son into the academy, and John Travolta's like, I did, but you didn't give me any useful information, and I'm getting the hell out of Dodge, so fuck you, buddy. I got a board meeting to go to.
He's like shouting. I mean, the foreshadowing could not be more on the nose, because he's like, I'm getting off this hell planet. I hate this stupid planet. I can't wait to leave this planet.
Something's going off in my head as a viewer. I don't think John Travolta's going to make it off this planet. And I would like to say that earlier I said their skin was green. It's not. It was just that green light, or gray. It was just the lighting, because they're in the sun now, and they're perfectly human skin toned. All right, I digress. Anyway, you know that John Travolta is an asshole. He's a mean cyclo. He's just trying to do whatever he can to get off this awful human office. And now he's got to, after a couple drinks of Kerbango and fucking over the bartender, he's got to go to the board meeting.
The introduction to the board meeting actually happens outside, mm-hmm, when his boss from the home planet, mm-hmm, teleports to the station.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
it is a pleasure to see you, Your Excellency. And I would be honored to expedite your clearance through security.
Please, call me Z. Does all of Earth look like this?
Oh, I'm afraid so, sir.
Pathetic. All the green and the blue sky. They told me this planet was ugly, but this has got to be one of the ugliest crap holes in the entire universe.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I hate these puny, undersized planets. The gravity is so different.
But wait, I do have one question, boss. If you teleported here really quick, can't I just teleport back on my days off to the planet? Can I just teleport back, be with my family, go to space school, then teleport back to this office during the work week?
Absolutely
not. Okay, just making sure.
You will lose all of the credits you made with the man animals, and I can't afford. I just cannot afford to lose that.
Only I can teleport.
So he's introducing him to, he's like, you know, man animals are useless. They're small, they're puny. Like, you can see this for yourself, but like, they do have some useful habits, which is why. And I don't know why he's telling the boss this, because the boss is like, yeah, I know. I came up with this whole structure.
Yeah, this is all my plan.
Why you're giving me the teeth?
I was the one that took over the man animals, okay? And in the background, you guys, there's like, the man animals are all hunched on all four, eating out of like slob, like a pig pen. Uh-huh. Just real demeaning in the back, you know, just that real bad feeling as they take out office tour.
I know. So then this is where we meet a really important character who plays a massive part for the rest of this movie. Mm-hmm. His name is Kerr, as played by Forrest Whitaker. And
Forrest Whitaker. That's how you can remember that.
I bet you the writers were just like, because John Travolta's character's name is Turl.
Turl
so
and Curl.
It feels like they all just
Turl and Curl. Turl and Curl and Johnny Goodboy.
Good job, guys. So he goes,
my executive assistant, Kerr.
Thank you.
He has been fully trained to replace me as chief of security as soon as my transfer goes through.
And so can't stop talking about that transfer, but he's like, the executive director is like, you know what, before we go through with that, can we just have this board meeting real quick? There's just a few things we need to go over before we enact your transfer.
You've got too many foul shells in one woven cup. That's their way of saying you've got too many eggs in one basket. He just says the longest, weirdest, dumbest thing.
So
John Travolta, and you guys, you know, these are like board members that are like rich, older white men because they have double chins. Giant, giant fake double chins, which is,
it's so, it's such a weird choice. And I mean, here's the thing. This kind of is a callback to another movie, but that a lot of people love, that I'm actually blanking on the name. It's the Muppeteer, the Jim Henson one about,
oh, the Dark Crystal.
Yes.
Dark Crystal. I love Dark Crystal.
So what are the bad guys in that
Skeksis
movie? Skeksis. Okay. So every time I watch the Dark Crystal, I'm like, the Skeksis seem so inefficient.
Cam. Yeah, they move really slow. They just
they're
don't.
They're barreling. like they don't have any special powers.
I kept asking, like, how do those Skeksis get dressed? They have all these fabulous cloaks on, but they have the weirdest little hands.
Exactly, my point. That is exactly how I feel about the Cyclos. They are huge, lumbering, awkward, slow, no fine motor skills, and some they make the longest sentences.
They're on those platform shoes. They've got that sixth finger that keeps getting in the way. That sixth finger that won't move keeps fucking things up.
They're the advanced race. They're the more efficient. Like, I don't get it. Nothing about what they do is efficient. All of their technology is like stones and rocks and like really basic visuals. There's like nothing really intricate about it. Nothing.
So they also look like the lollipop gang. Like, they do. Like, just imagine the lollipop gang grown up on platforms with dreads. Because they have these crazy, wily eyebrows, and, like, they're all, like, pointed up in little mustaches.
And these long
that, like,
beards that are, like, braided.
It's so ridiculous.
So that's my question. Is, like, the board meeting, there's all these characters that are, like, huge with, like, these massive double, triple chins. They look like Jabba the Hutt. Like, these are the dudes that are in charge. Like, nothing about it makes any sense. They're all slow. They're all inefficient, whatever.
Yeah, and the style's the same. Someone needs to get the stylist on the Cyclo world because everyone's wearing the same thing. Everyone looks the same from behind. Everyone's wearing dreads.
You don't want to waste your time trying to express yourself, your personality. Come on, you got stuff to do. So the point is that this board meeting is happening, and there's a lot of talk about how well this branch is doing.
Uh-huh.
We'll just breeze right by that. They're complimenting John Travolta, doing a great job being a mid-level manager. And they're like, I know you cannot wait to get off this planet. He's like, you're right. I cannot wait. And they're like,
we've decided to keep you here for another 50 cycles. With endless options for renewal. With endless options for renewal. With endless options for renewal.
And oh, jeez. Like, oh, all my eggs were in one basket. You teleport here.
Cycles,
you teleport
and my
here
on
five
cycles are over. And they're like, oh, okay, well, then I guess you shouldn't have had sex with the boss's daughter.
John Travolta. Oh, skeletons are coming out of your closet. Everyone knows
like
that
your long overdue transfer is going to be even more overdue.
Because
you know
we
I mean.
As Cyclos do not tolerate nepotism, okay? Lydia down in HR, she told us that someone died on the clock and that you had sex with the boss's daughter, and we are not for nepotism, we are for efficiency.
Sorry, you're stuck here. You're going to do a great job for us for the next 50 cycles.
And so John Travolta is pissed, and him and Kerr just have to, what do you do when you're pissed after a bad board meeting? Go back to the bar.
Kerbango.
Get that Kerbango. They are wasted on Kerbango. And if I was that bartender, I'd be like, fuck you, I'm not giving you any more Kerbango.
Can we also just briefly talk about how I think it was supposed to symbolize John Travolta losing any sort of moral center he had, because when they tell him he has to stay for 50 more cycles, there's like maybe a 2 solid minute shot of everyone at the board meeting laughing in slow-mo.
Mm-hmm. He feels like a big old twit right now.
So just slow-mo after slow-mo laugh after slow-mo laugh.
You think they would have notified him a lot earlier if he had sex with the boss's daughter? Like,
are you serious? No, they wanted the satisfaction of that moment where they could pop in his face.
But I will say that in between, after the slow-mo laughter about him staying for 50 more cycles, you do get a look at the Cyclo's home planet. And just like Kaden said, nothing really special about it. Kind of just looks like a city on a different planet. Nothing fancy, no technology, but,
oh, geez, but
I digress.
JT cannot wait to get back there. He cannot wait to get back there.
Have sex with the boss's daughter, apparently. Maybe there's a whole side story
and
going on.
He tells the CEO, he's like, listen, if I would have known that was the boss's daughter, I never would have done anything. And he's like, the CEO's like, you know what the CEO told me to tell you? He told me to tell you. That if that turl tries to say he didn't know it was my daughter, you shoot him right then and there. And I'm like, this whole conversation is bonkers.
I know. If I was turl, I'd be like, well, you know what? My friend Kerr right here told me that the CEO might tell you to tell me to tell you that. But Kerr is my executive assistant, and he knows how to access the HR files. Let me tell you a thing about your CEO. Last year,
tax evasion on the planet Cyclo.
And then he's going to be like, the CEO told me to tell you that if you accuse him of tax evasion.
It's so fucking ridiculous. And I also have another question. Now I'm thinking, like, we haven't actually seen a Cyclo woman at this point. Like,
oh, we get introduced to one, don't you worry.
It's just a beautiful, they all look the same. It's just a very husky, dreadlocked, leather-wearing.
But they have a much farther, larger forehead.
Oh, yeah.
Cyclos, which delineates them.
As women Cyclos do. Okay, so back to the story. Kerr and Tur, John Travolta and Kerr, they're back at the bar. They're getting drunk on Kerbango, and they are trying to figure out a plan because John Travolta's got to get off this damn fucking earth.
And this is when, okay, this is the scene where Colin and I, it has our favorite, probably one of our favorite top three lines of the whole movie. So John Travolta's bitching because he's like, even you could have done this job, Kerr, and like, you're a fucking moron. Like, I wasn't raised to have this cushy job. And Kerr's like, what are you complaining about? You get to sit here, succeed, make a bunch of money, and this is nothing. Like, this is so easy for you. It's cushy. And he's like,
well, I can assure you that I was not groomed since birth to have some cushy job that even a moron like you could perform. While you were still learning how to spell your name, I was being trained to conquer galaxies.
Oh, JT. You're not conquering much of a galaxy if you can't even keep control of your Earth station. A man killed a Cyclo today, JT. That's not conquering a galaxy. Two men. That's not conquering the galaxy, bud. Okay, so
How do you go to the academy and train to conquer galaxies and end up a mid-level manager for the home planet at a satellite office?
Cadence, you don't know the Cyclo way of life. That's why he's so mad. He's like, I got my master's at academy for conquering universes. And I'm here in this mid-level job.
Also, did we also bring up that John Travolta is the only Cyclo who is chosen to deliver all of his lines with like a British accent for inexplicable reasons?
Yeah, I love
reasons?
It because he's trying so hard to do this weird accent, but it's just like a bad British accent.
Yeah, I don't know if he's trying to like be aristocratic or something and like give off this air of sophistication, but no other Cyclos do it. And
he's British Cyclo.
It's a real
he's
bold
British
choice.
British.
It's a bold choice.
So
okay.
Before we get to the next scene, we're just going to flash back to see what those old man animals are doing. So basically, while all this office politics talk is happening,
and they're playing out,
and the drunk Kerbango, and they're talking about the boss's daughter, we get flashbacks to the man animals who are basically being kept in these cages. They're being hosed down, which really doesn't make a lot of sense because they're being hosed down in their full leather tribal gear. And I'm like, that's just, what are the Cyclos trying to do here? I don't get it. Anyway, but they're just being really badly treated. But you can see that Johnny Goodboy, he's slowly kind of building, like people got their eye on him because he was the one that shot a Cyclo. So the
and
word is getting around.
There's this really, really seminal moment that happens in the prison right now. So it's feeding time, right? Mm-hmm. And they feed them this slop that's like cottage cheese that with like green food coloring
because
in it.
It's just like Kerbango, everything's got to be green on
green.
Cyclo.
It's alien. So they're scooping it out with their hands, you know, and there's this like power battle, and this guy comes up to Johnny Goodboy and he's like, listen, me and my guys eat first, then everybody else eats. And Johnny's like, oh, no. Like, I'm here to unite all the man animals. We're not going to turn against each
other.
It's
also not just office politics. It's prison politics, too. We get into full prison politics. He's like, my gang eats first, gets a shiv out. You want to be my bitch? It's so good.
So there is a fight involved, but the point is, is that Johnny Goodboy only ever fights when it's necessary and for the greater good. So he fights this guy, but he's only fighting him to be like, here, I want to feed you. Like, I want us all to eat at the same time. We're all in this together. Literally, we're all in this prison together.
Like, let's quite just literally, make it we work. Are.
And this is the beginning of Johnny Goodboy. Okay, so let's think about this. He's already been brave. He's already shot two Cyclos. He's been smart enough to figure out the gun.
He slayed the dragon that's been sitting there for thousands of years that didn't move. That was on a putt-putt golf with
slayed
a golf
the
club.
Dragon. And now he's united all the man animals, and he's becoming like their savior, essentially. So he starts feeding them all this cottage cheese, this green cottage cheese.
I'd be weary after Troll 2. I'd be like, is Gertrude going to come out? Is she going to come out and turn me into plant? Am I going to have goo panties?
So anyway, that's just a little bit of, again, heavy-handed foreshadowing of what's to come, because we get to go right back to that office and Kerr and John Travolta.
Let's check back on the spy cams what Kerr and John Travolta are doing. We're back with that crazy old JT and Kerr after their Kerbango. They're drunk on Kerbango right now.
Also, okay, John Travolta, this is just a character choice. He chooses to drink his Kerbango just like a beer, like just in a mug, right? Kerr chooses to drink his Kerbango like a fruity drink. So he has like this glass straw and he's always in the background just stirring his drink.
Well, the reason Kerr...
Looking at John Travolta like, oh, you know it, girl.
I know. And the reason Kerr is doing that is because Kerr has... Okay, this is one of the best scenes in the movie. You guys, we were not joking when we talked. This whole movie's obviously been about office politics, right?
This is so tedious.
They go back to the office, main office, I guess John Travolta's head office. And they literally pull out a file cabinet, but instead of paper in this file cabinet, it's just like stone tablets with different writing on them. And he's like, John Travolta's like, hey, Kerr, put down your glass straw. Stop being so sassy. I know that you haven't been doing your job. And you know how I know that? Not only from these files, but from the office security cameras, but they call them...
Pictocams.
Pictocams. They just changed the name to Pictocams. And then in the corner, there's a little spy camera. Office camera, and he's like, these...
No, that's the thing. It's huge, and it's loud, and they cut to it, and it's like, and it's like moving in and out of the wall, and Kerr's like, you told me we only use those spy cams on other people, not ourselves, and he's like, I told you I didn't use it on myself, but I never said I wouldn't use it on yourself. Like, it's the dumbest, and it's huge. It's a huge fucking camera sticking out of the wall, and Kerr's like, I didn't even know that was there. You didn't tell me that was there.
He's all, security cameras are all over the office, and I just pulled out these files, which are actually tablets, and look at this file. It says you aren't doing your job very well, Kerr. I know. And Kerr's like, oh, shit. He found those files, those HR files that are actually just stone. So now, John Travolta, this is where leverage comes in. Because now
he can blackmail Kerr, you guys. Yeah. Kerr, he can talk Kerr into doing what he needs to do. And he's going to fuck the home office. He's ticked. He's like, if they're going to keep me on Earth, I'm going to screw them over.
They're going to deal with JT hard. And so, yes, he basically blackmails Kerr by saying, you haven't been doing a good job. You haven't been filling out the appropriate paperwork. Where was the paperwork that I asked you to fill out earlier today when that guy died? You're just sipping your Kerbango in your glass straw being sassy, but I know you've been slacking off. And Kerr's just pissed. He's like, I can't believe you spied on me with the security cams / pictocams and these files. I thought that I burned them, but I guess I didn't. I didn't forgot the shredder. They have like a stone tablet shredder. And so Kerr has no other choice, you guys. He's got to join John Travolta's plan. But
John Travolta's plan
is really, really good, and it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, this
let him have it, Cadence. You tell
there's
him.
There's a reason that this guy went to the academy. There's a reason he learned to conquer galaxies, because this is the plan he's been sitting. You know what? No, he's not even been sitting on it. In my mind, he came up with this on the spot because he's that smart.
Oh, he already had it. This was his academy thesis paper. He already knew a long time ago.
So he's going to screw the home office over by taking the smartest, most rebellious man animals in the bunch, making them smarter, teaching them how to mine for gold, and then on the back end, taking all that gold for himself and never getting caught. Because, guys, it's never going to be on the books. He tells Kerr, we're never going to report this as profit.
You guys, we're going to fudge the numbers, Kerr, because
we're going to commit corporate fraud,
we're committing tax fraud, Kerr, because for some reason in the galaxy, gold is still a payment on Cyclo.
You know how
many dreads I can get with the gold we're going to make. Do you know how much Kerbango we are going to fucking drink? We're going to drink Kerbango in a space hot tub with space cyclos.
Space
we have bigger
babes.
Foreheads and widow's peaks. And life is going to be good. And Kerr's like, oh, That makes a lot of sense. We should make the man animal smarter. To mine. I'm on your side, corporate fraud. Go.
I mean, when he started talking about this, I was like, he's not saying gold. Like, that doesn't make any sense. That's 3,000 years into the future. There's no way that they're, like, trading gold in the galaxy. But
gold
no,
has not been brought up once, you guys. No talk of gold. Nothing. Right. The paperwork, HR, Kerbango's bought with not gold. It's bought with space money.
Credits. It's called credits.
Yes, like Star Wars. Like,
I don't understand. Is he deciding that he's going to, like, get this valuable gold and then make it a commodity in space? Like, I have no idea what his plan is.
Cadence, you didn't go to the academy to learn how to master universes, okay? Just don't ask questions.
While I was learning to write my name, he was learning how to conquer galaxies.
I know he's so cocky for what he is, but I'm like, bud, you're a mid-level manager who's committing company fraud with your friend that you blackmailed. Come on, with the picto cams / security cameras that he didn't know were being used.
I just imagine Kerr like having a fetish of like pretending like he doesn't know that cameras are there. He's just like, oh yeah, you're watching me? Oh yeah?
Kerr fights back. Yeah. He's like, wait till I tell Lydia and HR about this. She's gonna go right
going
to the CEO.
To the top.
She's gonna tell the janitor who knows the daughter of the CEO on the planet, and he's gonna tell her that you ruined the files. It's so fucking
And then
ridiculous.
Maybe the CEO will be like, oh, and you can tell him he's not only gonna stay there for 50 cycles, he's gonna die there. And then you're probably gonna want me to tell the CEO I'm not gonna die on Earth. There's no way. I will go down fighting. And the CEO will probably say, then you can shoot him. Find a man animal who knows how to work a gun.
I know. The CEO seems ruthless. I don't know what John Travolta's getting out of this. But anyway, he finally uses leverage. He gets Kerr to be on this plan. And now they're going to go. So then JT has a little thing. He's like, okay, well, now I have this brilliant plan to get to the smartest man animals, mine gold. What man animal could I possibly get? Oh, the one that figured out the safety on our space guns.
Mm-hmm. So like I said before, this is where we break down the plan. The plan is to get already the smartest and most rebellious man animal, make him smarter and more rebellious and more independent, obviously, and then expect it all to go exactly as you have planned. So the other thing is that, as Colin touched on briefly before, when they came to the human processing plant, they were given like these little breath tubes because there's something about the gas in the dome that they're in where they work that they can't breathe it. So that's the other part of this, is they're teaching the men to mine the gold without the breath tubes. So I mean, they're free from any need of cyclos whatsoever, right? They don't need them for food, for shelter, for breath gas, nothing. So this is also where John Travolta teaches Kerr about leverage. So this is
our favorite thing.
Cyclos, keep in mind the entire time, cyclos are a superior race of beings.
Yes.
Okay.
Obvi.
So they are smarter than any. They've taken over the galaxy, smarter than anybody else out there.
That one does seem to be unusually intelligent and resourceful, but it's also defiant, which means we'll need leverage over it.
Over Romania.
Man is a primitive species, so we'll need something primitive for leverage, like food. What do you think a man animal would like to eat? What do you think he would consider a treat?
What crap should I know? There's no way of knowing that, sir.
Well, before we educate it on a learning machine, we'll take it to the mountains, along with a couple of the others. Let them think they've escaped. And then we'll sit back and watch it choose its favorite food.
Leverage over the humans that we are superior over. We don't have to do any of this. We don't have to do any of this. We are superior space aliens. I went to the academy. Let's just force them, okay? Why on fucking Cyclo Earth do you need to manipulate the humans to do what you want this way? It seems like
leverage.
A big step. It's you do not need leverage with the humans, John Travolta.
To
a lot of organization. You're already
to choose their favorite food.
Oh, it's so
then
bizarre.
You can bribe them with their favorite food. It's
to
so
do what we want them to do in the first place.
That they're
we
could already just, your prisoners.
They're your prisoners. They don't know how to take the safety off your space guns. Just put guns to their head and make them mine gold. I don't know
it's
where this
worked so far.
it's worked really good so far. Well, you know what? It hasn't, because he hasn't been transferred back yet. He's still got to stay 50 cycles. He's got to figure out whatever he can do.
That's because he couldn't keep his dick in his pants. It was nothing to do with his efficiency.
God,
nothing
okay.
to do
well,
with his
Well, that is a good plan. Kerr's like sipping on his Kerbingo and his glass straw. Like, okay, I think I'm following.
Cool.
I think this sounds like a plan. Okay. So, cool. Did you turn the cams off?
John Travolta this whole time is lecturing Kerr about leverage, and he is going on and on about how smart he is, and like, can you believe I thought of this plan? It was the best. Like, I can't believe I thought about it. It's amazing. And you're my student. So once you learn, and this is important, once you learn how to leverage, then my job here is done, my friends. Like, you will have officially be ready to take over. So they take the man animals that they've chosen, again, the most smart and the most rebellious.
Johnny Good Boy.
Take them out into the mountains, let them free. So they're wandering around the mountains for 3 days. They're dying of starvation. They take coverage in like a little hidey hole somewhere, and there's a rat running around. And so they kill the rat. There's no way to start a fire. So they eat the rat raw in order to survive. And guess what? John Travolta, being the superior race that he is like, that's it. Raw rat. That's their favorite food.
And they love it.
That's their favorite food.
Of course it is. They could have selected anything they wanted.
But it's not even cooked.
If man-animal prefers its rat uncooked, then our job is that much easier.
If they like their rat so much, how come those two aren't eating?
Don't you know anything? The leader of the pack always eats first. See? We're really going to have leverage over them now. See how much they enjoy rat. How slowly they eat it.
There it is. Leverage. Done and done.
See that, Kerr? See how easy that was? See? See? Look at that. Put that in your file. Put that in your Kerbango and drink it.
Done and done.
Also, I'd be really suspicious if I was these man animals. I'd be like, something doesn't feel right here. Something's fishy.
It's really funny you should say that, because our favorite man animal, Johnny Good Boy, he's like, did you guys hear that? Something's going on. And he chases everyone down, and he, like, listens to their clothes. And guess what? He finds their pictocams.
Hidden pictocams in their clothes, in the man
animal clothes. And Kerr's like,
clothes.
Kerr gets a little sassy with John Travolta, and he's like, I thought you said that they weren't going to find those pictocams in their clothes. I thought you said they weren't smart enough. And, I mean, there's no way that they would see them. Remember how you said that? Remember how you said that?
And don't so underestimate he's getting, Johnny Good Boy.
Yeah, he's getting sassy with John Travolta. Like, I don't think you're as smart as you think you are, but okay, you've got the HR files over me. There's really nothing I can do. I'm just putting it out there that maybe Johnny Good Boy might not be, you know, the best choice.
Okay, so John Travolta and Kerr just sitting there watching the spy cam. What did they call it? What a pictocam.
Pictocam.
Because not a camera.
Kerr's given John Travolta the
yes,
side eye.
Pictocams. And the man animals have decided that they have discovered the pictocams hidden in the buttons of their clothes, which the cyclos did never think was going to happen.
Mm-mm,
and this
nope.
is the best part. So they they rip out the cams and completely take them off, and they go running. And then the cyclos are like, oh shit, well, we got to go get them. And I'm like, what was the point of the cam? You knew exactly where they were. All they do is go right back, pick them back up. They're like, you guys, there was no point. Well, I guess it was to find the food. It was to spy on what their favorite food was. That's right.
Well, duh, you forget that the whole
it was the spy
3-day investment yes. of time was so they could pick whatever food they wanted, and
which
then
is,
they would have a leverage.
Which is rats. That's why they put the cams in their cats. But anyway, they ripped them out. They think they're getting away. But no, those cyclos are smarter. They know exactly where they are. They go pick them up. They're like,
they land,
that failed.
Yeah. And,
that failed. That whole plan failed. But come, we have tons of uncooked rats.
Exactly. The plan didn't fail. I mean, yes, they tried to escape. It didn't fail in the sense that they think they have leverage with the uncooked rat situation.
They got the information they needed, and that's all that matters, Kerr. Don't give me
like,
the side eye.
I mean, you could call it a failure. Some might call it a success. I'm not.
Also, John Travolta, you went to the academy. You don't think that you're going to starve a human, and the first thing the human sees to eat is their favorite food? Like, what are you thinking? Like, starving people. There's a living thing they're eating. That must be their favorite food. No. Yum. If you knew anything about humans, if you took Humans 101 at Academy, you would know we don't eat rats. They carry bad diseases. Anyway, they run away. They pick him up. In this whole pickup, one of the three men dies, and Johnny Goodboy is sad. It's vengeful time. But John Travolta.
He dies because Kerr and John Travolta are bickering about whether or not man animals can fly. And Kerr's like,
they must be able to fly.
Man animals can't fly.
Just because we've never seen them fly doesn't mean they don't fly.
I'm telling you, man animals don't fly.
Right. You believe what you like, sir.
And then he throws him off a cliff and is like, see, I told you. And Kerr's like, you're
also,
right. And
we
like
invaded this planet 3,000 years ago and never once has a man flown. So pointless endeavor. I'm a killing machine.
They now, cannot stop bickering, though. Like, that's the point. They bicker over the dumbest shit. They're literally bickering over this guy can fly.
They've been in the office for a long time. It's just been a lot. Okay, so now that they have leverage with rat food, John Travolta decides to take the man animal, Johnny Goodboy, back. And this is where the movie makes the most amount of sense, and it really gets so good.
So, he decides to strap Johnny Goodboy into a chair and then turn on what is known as the learning machine, the knowledge machine. So the knowledge machine opens and even the fucking learning mirage is apologizing for not being a cyclo. He literally pops up and he goes,
excuse me, but I am your instructor if you will forgive such arrogance, for I do not have the honor to be a cyclo. I am but a lowly Klingo language slave. As you are listening to me, I most likely do not exist, as we may have been exterminated, like many other races, by the gas drones of our conquerors. Please forgive my pretension as I try to educate you in Cyclo, the noble language of our superiors.
Man, the damage those cyclos have done to the galaxy. Just so much intimidation.
You are a learning
mirage.
You
guys, John Travolta is trying to take a man animal and feed him intelligence by luring him into the learning machine with rats so that he can learn to mine gold. JT, you didn't think twice about what you're doing here. You are giving a man animal who took the safety off your gun, if you don't remember. He's already smart. He doesn't need this intelligence machine feeding him all intelligence about math,
like,
science, war rebellions. I'm just going to give you a hint. The learning machine knows about weapons, machinery, rebellions. But John Travolta will get his gold.
Yeah, I think John Travolta's side of it is like, if I can get him to learn everything and do everything on his own, then, like, I can just drop him off at the mines.
Which
and
everybody
pick
knows.
Up the gold and it's not a big deal.
Everybody
I'm
knows
over
that.
It. I don't have to watch. I don't have to secure the situation.
Cadence?
I don't have to manage anybody. I just get to live my life. Job done.
I don't know much about taking captives, okay? But I do know that when you take a captive, you teach one captive everything about your culture and how to overthrow it. And then you put that captive with a bunch of other captives and just let them do their thing. Give them a couple rats, get a little gold every day. You kick back and you're in your cyclo hot tub. Not you're in your cyclo yacht. You don't give a shit.
The other thing is, like, in the scenes. Okay, so in the scenes with the learning machine or the knowledge machine, whatever it's called, Johnny's number one, he's already strapped down. So using the rat as leverage is pointless.
Yes, they
because
forced
Johnny's
him to strap
strapped
down.
Into the chair.
No
okay?
rat came into this play. That whole thing was a big bust.
It's not like he's like luring him into the chair, like walking with the rat and being like,
there's a
cooked, the rat.
There's a dead rat on the chair. Ooh, if you get in this learning machine, that little guy's all yours, buddy. Kerr's in the back drinking his Kerbango.
Yeah, go for that rat.
Go for that rat. Mmm, tasty rat, huh? So yeah, they force him down anyway. No rats involved.
Right. So the rats are just superfluous to the whole plan in general. Secondly, Johnny Goodboy is loving the knowledge machine.
Oh my God, he can't get enough. He pushes himself back in it. His eyes have been open. He's taken an acid trip and he loves it. And one of the other humans comes in, tries to stop him. And he's like, no, bitch, I'm getting high off knowledge.
In.
I'm going back in. Dead rats or not, I am getting that knowledge. And it's getting out of control. And the other human's like, oh no, he's addicted to that high of that life intelligence machine.
So this is where, I mean, it's already taken a weird turn, but this is where it gets a little interesting in the sense that before this moment, the humans and Cyclos couldn't understand each other. The Cyclos were speaking their language and the humans were speaking their language. Well, now that Johnny Goodboy's been in the learning machine, he knows how to speak Cyclo. So he can now speak to John Travolta and they can communicate. So, I mean... What were you, John Travolta, what were you thinking?
I know, because okay. Then Johnny Goodboy, he takes all this knowledge back to the other people, to you guys. Prison,
and he tells them all he knows, and guys, guess what he knows about? Triangles.
Duh, he knows triangles, and he's saying, look, triangle, see? They're all equal sides. See? Triangle. Math. I know, I went to the learning machine, and everyone's like, you guys, what's this witchcraft?
I know all about mathematics. You can tell the writers were like, because he goes, I learned all the precepts of Euclidean mathematics, and you could tell the writers were like, I don't really want to, like, do research about this, so, but, like...
Let's just do triangles. Let's just do basic shapes.
Let's just talk about triangles.
Let's just do basic shapes. This is a circle. This is a square. Equal sides. Let's just go.
He draws a triangle with ash from, like, the fire. And then he draws a square. And he's like,
look, this symbol is called a triangle. If all these sides are equal, then these three angles must also be equal.
Equal to what?
To each other. It's the basic foundation of Euclidean geometry.
Seems pretty hard to understand.
It's deep, you guys. And these guys are blown away because he's using his little ash pencil stick to write on the walls these mathematical equations, which are really just shapes. And
finally,
then the
one
next
of them
scene,
speaks up. Wait, then, no, one of them finally speaks up and he goes,
I thought we were supposed to be working on stuff to help us escape.
I'm Johnny fucking good boy, bud. I went to the learning machine. I'm going to get us out of here and I'm going to have leverage on these aliens. Trust me.
Trust me. It totally will, because not only did I learn about triangles and squares, I also learned about nuclear physics.
Oh, man. I want to get hooked to that. Okay, so what? So why do Cyclos have to go to the academy if they have a learning machine that they can just hook themselves up to?
That's so true.
Why doesn't Kerr just go,
so
you know
expensive?
What? If I was Kerr, I'd get my Kerr bang on my glass straw and be like, John Travolta, I'm sitting in this intelligence machine. I'm going to learn how to take over galaxies and we'll be on the same page.
I mean, the bartender's freaking selling gossip for money for his kid to go to space school. It's like, just put him in the chair
just
for 5 minutes.
Just get in the chair, in the intelligence chair. But
like, you could set the settings of the knowledge chair to like a degree in management, a degree in galaxies, a degree
how to
in
turn
space
off,
travel.
How to turn off spy cams, how to destroy files.
That's all Kerr wants to know. That's he's like, I know. Don't want much. I just want to know how to get these picture cams
well,
taken off.
The best thing is, okay, so we're going to go through a montage because after he's learning, I guess John Travolta and Kerr just did not care. They were busy doing something else because Johnny Goodboy is sitting in the office. He's opening up the office files. He's reading.
He's running amok with his gang.
Yes, his gang. They don't have leather goods on anymore. They now have like gray suits. It's like John Travolta just gave him free will of the office. He's sitting around learning their language. He's learning their complicated crypto cams, everything. And I'm just like, man, they just really let him go. So needless to say, you guys.
No one's looking after the man animals.
No one's looking after the man animals. And it is going to come back to man animal bite them in the ass.
Oh, the man animals are running around.
We're laughing because this is so ridiculous. So they've had free range of the office. Johnny Goodboy is just hooking himself up to the intelligence machine at this point. Literally no
Which
one.
At this point, you could just invite other people to hop
yes,
in the knowledge chair.
He's
not
strapped down. He's learned how to take it. They just gave him free range. But exactly what you think happened is going to happen. He tries to stage a very small rebellion.
Yeah, I mean, JT and Kerr, there's just a brief moment where JT, John Travolta, and Kerr bicker a little bit more. And all it serves to do is, like, kind of give us some exposition because no one knows where the fuck the plot is at this point.
Yeah.
So there's another really weird, like, bicker sexual tension between John Travolta and Kerr. And there's a lot more leverage porn.
They're absolutely frenemies. Frenemies that love leverage porn and spy cams.
It's obviously too much to ask a man-animal thing to learn a language as sophisticated as Cyclo.
What if it can't understand Cyclo and it's just pretending that it can?
The hell would it do that for?
I don't know. Maybe it's secretly listening, trying to get leverage over on us.
So Johnny tries, like Colin said, to stage a rebellion, by getting all the guys to steal the guns from the cyclists around them. Because, I mean, keep in mind, they've just been wandering. They're probably looking in empty drawers, pulling out guns out of crevices.
I know. Kurt and come in the office and be like, why are all these files out? Has the man animal been here again? God darn it.
All those man animals.
All those man animals.
So they try to all fire on the cyclists at once. And John Travolta's like, there's one thing you learn when you've been to the academy, and it's you never leave a gun unloaded. I mean, loaded. So all these guns are unloaded. Go ahead and try to fire.
As we learned earlier with the whole safety switch, they're big on gun safety, you guys. Big on guns, those cyclists.
So he's like, it's a no-go for you, but thanks for trying to start the rebellion. And then he goes,
you can't hide this from home office forever. Man getting leverage over a cyclo. That'll be the day.
You guys, and we aren't kidding you. At this point, leverage has been said 725 times. Mm-hmm. 725 times. Right. And then John Travolta, so he stops this little rebellion, and then he has a really good idea. Another really, really good idea.
Okay, he's already put him in the knowledge machine. He's already taught him all he needs to know about cyclo lives and ways and languages.
He knows about circles and math.
And about all basic shapes. He thinks what will finally put an end to this rebellion. He's like, come with me. I have something to show you. So this whole rebellion will just fucking end already. It's the most giant library in the United States. And you know what? Go. Learn whatever you want. Have free reign over the library. Because it doesn't matter anyway. Humans are stupid. We almost exterminated all of you. So go. Run around. Have a great time. I'll be waiting over here.
Get all the knowledge in the Library of Congress. I dare you. Go. Go learn more from books. Like, what on earth? What on Cyclo Earth is JT thinking? Oh my God. It's ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. So that's what he does. And Johnny Goodboy's now wandering around the Library of Congress just... reading
soaking
away.
Soaking up all those books.
Soaking up all. Because keep in mind, the books are still there after all this time. Just perfectly alphabetized.
Yes, like we said earlier, keep in mind, 1,000 years later, all these books, all the pages, they're perfectly pristine. Mm-hmm. It's the shelves. Like, it's all still there. The cyclos have just left it. It's all perfectly preserved. So he goes and gathers more knowledge the old-fashioned way. And then John Travolta's like,
just keep in mind that although you know nothing about firearms, I certainly do. I graduated top marksman in my class, and I can kill any one of you at over 1,000 paces.
Yeah.
So he takes him to a field.
Remember how you tried to create a rebellion earlier and the guns weren't loaded? Let me show you what they do when they're loaded.
Exactly. So he has this whole weird scene where he's shooting all the cows in the field.
Yes,
and he's
so like, he stops
putting
the spaceship
behind his back.
He stops the spaceship and he gets on. He's like, come on, get out. And then he's like, I'm going to just show them something that's going to blow their damn minds. And also, I'm thinking, A, these cows don't run away from the spaceship landing.
Right.
And B, you would think that humans would want to eat cows more than anything. But nope, rats is what they want. He gets out. Shows him his sharp shooting skills by shooting the cows.
Cows are really slow moving, so it's not like he's shooting a moving target.
They just stand there. They don't move. And then it shows him shoot his cyclo gun at the cow's little leg. And just a little leg falls over and falls down. Oh, it is so funny. John Travolta, he's just so cocky. It's getting ahead of him.
Because he's just like, it's so bizarre because he's literally taking him on like space errands all day. He's just like, let's go here first.
I think John Travolta just needs a friend. He just needs someone to be around.
He's been
stuck on that ungodly planet for so long. Now he has to be 50
lonely.
More cycles.
So then because he's shooting with a loaded gun and the humans have gained a bunch of knowledge, they steal his loaded gun. They surround him. And then in that moment, Johnny's like,
shoot! Shoot!
Why'd you wait? Kill it! Kill it! And then we'll run. We'll run.
Then what? What kind of life is it to run? Always living in fear of being hunted? What about the others we're leaving behind? What about them?
There's nothing. Nothing we can do for them. Only the gods can free them.
Oh, you think the lights in the night sky are gods waiting to come down and save us? Do you? Those are planets. Planets like this one. The great villages were built by our people. By millions of men and women just like us. Willing to fight to the death for one thing above all else. Their freedom.
And you know what that's called? Leverage. I learned it in the intelligence machine.
Then intelligence machine's like, I'm so sorry, I'm not a cyclo. I just want to talk about leverage real quick.
And John Travolta buys it. He's just like, yep, oh, okay.
He's loving he's it. Like, he's on my smirking side. And smiling. Yes,
nothing suspicious here going on. Nothing.
They're
at
talking
all.
In a different language for 10 mm-hmm. minutes. He can't understand it. And he's just like, yeah, no, they're definitely not conspiring. Definitely not while they're surrounding me with a loaded gun. It's fine. It's fine.
So after this little showdown, and after Johnny Goodboy has really convinced John Travolta, another little spaceship pulls up. Another little spaceship pulls out. Guess who hops out? It's Kerr drinking his Kerbango with his glass straw. Sipping.
He's like, oh, guess who I ran by? Guess who I found?
Hey, guess who I found? Remember your wife from the beginning who told you your dad got taken by the gods? Found her. And my question is like, how hard is it? You guys found them in the cave after they ripped out their spy cams. You can locate these humans so easy. And you found her so easy. How was there a settlement?
Colin.
Okay. I don't get it.
This is one of my favorite parts. Okay, so Johnny Goodboy tries to play it off like he doesn't know her, right? Because how did they know she was his woman? We don't know yet, right? So he sees her and he's like, I don't know who the fuck this lady is.
That? I don't know. She's and not they're from my like, tribe.
And then he adds insult to injury by going, and she's fucking ugly. And John Travolta's like, listen, humans are terrible at lying. You have zero, like, capacity to lie. Cyclos have, like, a lie detector built in. So mm-hmm, I know you're lying. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But guess what you're not so bad at? Drawing. And he takes out a little charcoal drawing that Johnny Goodboy made, like a stick figure Johnny.
It's like him and that woman holding hands with a heart. Look what I found in her diary. A drawing you made that says, woman, man, love forever, part of tribe, Johnny Goodboy, signed Johnny Goodboy at the bottom.
Colin, that's how they find her.
Oh my god, it's so stupid. It's so stupid.
They just go hovering over tribes in their spaceship, comparing the drawing to the women.
Yep, like, this looks like not a good boy's woman. But I'm curious how he drew that stick figure because he just learned about circles and triangles. So I'm still curious how he drew the body.
Oh my god, I died. I died when he's like, you're not good at lying, but you're not so bad at drawing. You know
what? HR needs some drawers. We need to draw some plans of the spaceship, okay?
So now John Travolta has the ultimate leverage.
He's the king of leverage. King
he's
of leverage.
Got his woman. And Johnny's like, just whatever you do, don't hurt her. I'll do whatever you need me to do. So then they go back to the prison, and all the prisoners are like, no matter what, we're on your side. And in order to reward them, he cuts a little bit off his hair off mm-hmm. and gives it to everyone, passes yep. it around. Mm-hmm. People got a little bit of Johnny Goodboy in their mm-hmm. heart. And he's like, listen, just stick with me. I've got a plan. Meanwhile, we have to sit through one more painful conversation about leverage because JT is back at the bar. John Travolta's back at the bar.
At this point, if I was the bartender, I'd be like, no, I'm banning you. I know you're the chief executive officer. You're stuck here for 50 more cycles. You need my Kerbango. Get out. Get out.
Now you need me, bud.
You think that Kerr would have conspired with the bartender who knows all the gossip and he'd have been able to take over John Travolta?
That actually comes up later, but...
Oh, sorry. I'm jumping ahead. Okay.
He's talking to this woman who happens to be played by his real-life wife at the time,
John Travolta.
Kelly Preston.
John Travolta, the cyclist, mm-hmm. talking to his real-life wife. Mm-hmm. And like Caden said, the women, they look like the guys, just bigger foreheads and bigger foreheads and a widow's peak. They kind of look
little. Very sexual.
And they have painted nails, though, and very good eyebrows.
Very sexual. So she's selling information because she's been a secretary for somebody who's
of course.
Obviously very of course. Important.
Obviously.
More office politics.
More office politics in
so
this
movie.
So she's
like, listen, as the secretary, like, I have all this information and I'm happy to give it to you. However, I would love you to take me back to Planet Cyclo and buy me a massive house and we're going to be rich.
I had to go way beyond the call of duty to get these.
I see. Well, that's why I especially chose you.
So you'll keep your side of the bargain?
Which was?
You said we were going to have a huge house when we go back to Cyclo next year. We're going to be rich, right?
Right.
Just remember, I could always inform Planet Ship of your little scheme.
Leverage? A female getting leverage.
Oh, and I'm like, but God. She just did.
Also, bitch, you're the secretary. You know he's stuck there for 50 more cycles.
That's true, but maybe it's so much leverage that this will definitely get him off the planet sooner. I don't know.
I don't know. I thought the gold was the plan to get off the planet, not the leverage. We're confused if you guys
so
are.
He's so smart. He can do two plans at once. Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
That's what the Academy's for, two concurrent plans happening at the same time. All right. So I'm starting to think that John Travolta doesn't know how to get leverage as much as he thinks he does. It may be like a Princess Bride situation. Like, I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Yeah, he definitely does not know what to do.
Anyway, he goes back. He outlines his very tedious plan to commit more fraud and to get more power. It's absolutely bureaucratic. It's not even sneaky. It's just like really, really basic bureaucratic fraud, whatever. So now JT, John Travolta, is training the smartest and most rebellious man animal to do one last thing. He's decided that not only would it be useful for the man animals to not need breath gas and to be able to mine on their own and to get gold behind the company's back, he also wants them to be able to fly themselves to and from the mining site by themselves.
JT, you are just not thinking this one through. This is the third time you've really made a bad leverage. If there's one thing I know about captives, it's you teach them everything you know, you give them weapons to mine, and then you teach them to fly planes. you take them to training flight school, pop them in that intelligence machine, teach them how to drive your ships, and you're going to have babies on Cyclo. You're going to be rich with gold. It really does.
Oh, God, you're going to be a king.
I'm going to have to tell you that I'm going to have to write a strongly worded letter to your academy professor, because he taught you the wrong way to take over the corporate ladder. You do not train the mailman how to do the CEO's job and then be like, okay, I'm done.
You work for minimum wage and I'll get a CEO salary. Brilliant. This also culminates. So they're in the flying machine. He's teaching him to fly. He's screaming at him. He's like, if you don't get it right, I'm going to make your life a living hell. So don't make any mistakes.
So not only is he making him fly, he's making him fly it perfectly, training him to fly it perfectly.
And he goes, never. Okay, so he says, you have to fly perfectly. Don't make any mistakes or I'm going to hurt people that you love. And then he flies it perfectly, lands the plane, and he goes,
never underestimate what a little leverage can do, rat brain.
I'm like, who's leveraging who at this point? I don't think John Travolta. Teaching a prisoner how to fly away.
I don't think John Travolta has. I think he's gone off the rails. He's just got gold on his mind for some unknown reason, and he just wants to get back to Cyclo. Oh, JT.
I still cannot wrap my brain around what the fuck gold has to do with anything.
It's just got brought in. I don't know. It's a side thing, and I don't know why he's teaching him. It's so amazing. Such a good movie.
Okay, so this movie culminates. It's crescendoing. We're getting towards the climax. So this movie, the ending is barreling towards us by John Travolta.
And I don't have any idea what's going to happen. I think Johnny Goodboy is going to be a good boy and fly those planes to the gold, mine
to
it.
To and from.
To it from, day after day. Going casually
putting
to
his
the
hours.
Putting in his hours, clocking in, telling Sheila he gets overtime and sick pay.
Always filling out his time cards absolutely accurately.
It's going to be good.
It's going to go well. Because what his plan is to just create his own position as the lowest level manager, and he'll be super happy with that.
And he's going to climb that corporate ladder.
So John Travolta is saying, like, listen, I'm going to have you guys fly your own little planes out there, commute, probably carpool because I don't have enough planes for everybody. But fly out there. You have 14 days to mine the gold. And we have to have like a lot of gold. Okay. So you have 14 days to get this much gold. I will be back to collect it. And then proceeding forth, you will have another 14 days, right?
Oh, and here's some guns to shoot animals in case they get in your way. Here, take all these weapons just in case, you know, any animals try to get the gold.
Just in case, the wildlife. Or you get a putt-putt dinosaur.
Or you get a putt-putt dinosaur. Here's some guns. I'll teach you how to use it.
So after John Travolta leaves, Johnny Goodboy's like, you guys, I know where we're going to get this gold. We're not going to mine it, but I do know where it is. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like,
right, but I read about a place called Fort Knox where the gold has already been mined. Listen, there will be no mining. But we are going to deliver it.
I found about this place called Fort Knox, where apparently there's still a bunch of gold there. Duh.
Gold bars.
Gold bars.
Okay, guys, the Cyclos have been in charge of this planet for 1,000 years. And apparently gold is still really ripe for wealth. So like,
and apparently they couldn't find it. They went and they're like, the government buildings, we're going to keep those perfectly fine. The humans have this way of life, and we're not going to destroy any of it. Library of Congress, Fort Knox, we're not going to investigate.
It'll be a museum.
We're just going
to
make a home office here. And
we might have to show people in like 1,000 years, like just make a few stops.
Well,
you never know.
Wait, hold on. So let's back up, because why are they there to begin with? Why are the Cyclos there to begin with? Did they land to mine gold, or did they really just make a satellite office for easier transportation?
They are mining something. It's not gold, though. Because I tried, I rewound it many times. I couldn't quite catch.
I know. I've watched it. I don't know what they're doing.
And
something.
The labor that the humans were doing is also mind-numbingly outdated, which also confused me, because there are shots of them like using like rock sledgehammers to like crush rocks. And I'm like, Cyclos have taken over the galaxy, and whatever they're mining here has to be done with like pickaxes and sledgehammers. Like, that's the most inefficient way to mine whatever the hell you're mining. I don't get it.
It's bizarre.
I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense.
They're moving so slowly. So anyway, they're doing something else. And oh my God, when John Travolta explains, I have a timestamp for it, but he explains the whole profit margin scheme about how to like, it's so tedious. I died. I'm like, who fucking wrote this and who said it out loud and thought it was okay? So anyway, he says, I read about this place that Colin said at the Library of Congress. It's called Fort Knox. There's all this gold still. So we're going to deliver the gold, but we're not going to have to mine it. It's just going to buy us some time, because in the meantime, we're going to plan our rebellion.
And so the Cyclos do not put spy cams on their planes. So when we go way the fuck off course, no one's going to ask a damn question. Sheila's going to be on our lunch break. No one's looking at the spy cams.
We're going to fly from 11:45 to 12.
I know.
Real quick. So they fly out there, and he goes, all right, guys, let's move this gold. And I'm like, gold is so heavy. And they're just moving like millions of pounds of gold back onto the planes, bringing them back. This is where their plan backfires, because John Travolta lands and he's like, you had enough time to smelt this into bars? And he was like, I would never, Johnny Goodboy.
Excuse me, John Travolta. I went to the intelligence machine. Yeah, I did smelt it.
Yeah, I would never disrespect you by giving you just raw ore. Of course, I wanted to give it to you in this beautiful golden bar. Well, this is where Johnny's plan backfires, because John Travolta's like, well, if you had time to smelt it, it means you had a lot of extra time on your hands. So instead of 14 days, you only have 7. And he's like, shit.
And John Travolta doesn't sit there and go, remember that comment I made about humans lying? I'm a Cyclo. I have a built-in lie detector. You're obviously lying to me.
I didn't think about that.
Right?
His lie detector is off.
His lie detector is going off. He's like, something doesn't feel right. I'm a Cyclo.
But you know what? He's just blinded by greed. So he decides, 7 days. You have too much time on your hands. If you're smelting it, I'll be back. Johnny's like, well, shit. Now we got to stage this rebellion in 7 days. The good news for Johnny is that he has access to a lot of planes, right? So he's like,
yes, a lot of planes, lots of information, all the files, spy cams, everything, because John Travolta just left him.
So he goes, I'm going to fly you guys to Texas. We're going to invade a place that has tons of bombs and tons of weapons. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to fly you to a space center where you're going to learn how to fly planes and spaceships. Mm-hmm. And he takes them just literally around the country, just assembling a little hodgepodge of an army supply.
And the Cyclos don't ask a question. They don't track them. Nothing.
Single thing. Nope,
something's going on with that Johnny Goodboy. He's going on a world tour.
He's just sightseeing. So they're like, literally sitting in flight simulators, like practicing with their weapons. Not a Cyclo's noticing that any of this is going on. They devise a whole plan, and within 7 days, they have completely figured out their rebellion strategy. This battle lasts 40 minutes.
Johnny,
I'm not kidding.
Good boy taught all the humans in 7 days how to fly, bomb, raid, do everything they need to do to take down this corporate office.
And fly to a whole nother galaxy because they decide they're going to nuke the Cyclo's planet. So there's even people flying through freaking space.
You are ambitious, buddy, and I love it. I love it. Going from primitive with your stick
that
drawings
CEO
to flying through space.
Love you.
He's going to be so impressed.
He's like, that's all I'm doing this for. So, I mean, that's really it in the sense that this battle lasts 40 minutes. There's like a teleporter involved. They nuke the Cyclo's planet. They're able to bomb, because there's like this specific dome that all the Cyclo's are living in because of their breath gas situation. So they are able to like bomb the entire dome, get rid of all the Cyclo's.
The dome on Earth.
The dome on Earth. Right. That's like the Cyclo's camp.
Yes,
or whatever.
The camp with their breath air. They bomb that, get rid of that home office. Everyone's freaking out.
You know what else I forgot to say is when Johnny's planning this revolution, he goes,
based on what I've read about Cyclo security, if we were to stage a revolt, only using weapons that they don't perceive as any real threat, if we just use rocks and sticks, they're just going to herd us together and throw us back in the cages. But we're going to stage this revolt inside the dome. So the Cyclos are going to have to come inside the city to round us up.
I don't think that that had to be in the official Cyclo security book, dude. Like...
The Cyclo security book is like, if humans come in with sticks, throw them in cages. So
they will not
stupid.
Be threatening because we have laser guns.
Yes.
It's so dumb.
So many questions, you guys. So many questions about how Johnny Goodboy planned this whole rebellion in a week, taught everybody to fight. But that's literally the movie. He taught Titchies everybody to fight. And they have the rebellion. They kill home office. And they teleport to Cyclo's planet and blow it up.
There's one last, during the entire last battle where everything around them is going up in flames, there's one last conversation about leverage between Kieran John Travolta. And Kerr's like,
I've been thinking 80-20 is a pretty fair distribution of the goal. But I should get the 80%. And with my share, I'm gonna fire all my wives and buy new ones. Maybe pretty ones this time. Kurt Bango.
Congratulations. You finally learned how to get proper leverage over someone, haven't you? Which means that I haven't wasted my time trying to train you, have I?
And it's so dumb. They think it's sassy. They think it's Kerr, like, finally snapping back, whatever. The whole thing backfires because it's a completely useless scene. Okay, remember how I said the bartender comes back into play?
That snoopy little gossipy bartender.
Because at this point, Kerr has tried to build an alliance with the bartender, and that's when John Travolta brings out the head of the bartender who he has beheaded. And he's like,
oh, that poor bartender.
All he needed to do was pay for school.
And now his head is in John Travolta's hand, and he's showing it to Kerr.
That's what I'm saying. This whole scene is useless because you think Kerr finally has the upper hand and that leverage has finally been played against John Travolta. And then John Travolta's like, nope, I'm still in charge. The battle is still raging outside. Like, it was pointless. There was no reason for it to even happen.
No. A bartender lost his life. The Kerbango is all over. It's really tragic.
So also keep in mind, you guys, the planes have been sitting there for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm.
But everyone knows planes just start up.
The spaceships that they are driving have been sitting there for 1,000 years. Somehow they just go back in and start all these planes up on fossil fuels.
Yes, of course. And he went to the intelligence machine. He knows how to do everything.
He knows how to pump gas into those
planes. Our military trains for years, but those cavemen, they just get right on it. They know how to do it. It's not to mention they're like completely baffled by the technology that humans once has. There's probably a lot of questions going through their head.
No, there's not. There's nothing going through their head other than get the mission done. So of course, this culminates, like, the whole battle's happening. Everything's crumbling around them. But, of course, Johnny and John Travolta have to have one last showdown. And, of course, John Travolta still being fucking condescending, even though his whole world's collapsing around him. He's like,
you have been quite a challenge, rat brain.
I wonder. I wonder where I went wrong with you.
I wonder what I trusted into the library. You to fly those planes.
You need to learn about trust. I trusted you.
Maybe I shouldn't have been talking about leverage this entire time, and trust should have been the conversation.
Maybe I should have planted a spy cam in the planes that you took all over the world to get
the
nuclear bombs.
The pictocams, you mean?
Pictocams.
So he's still being a condescending asshole, and in the middle of this, Johnny nukes his arm off, and nothing happens. He shoots John Travolta's arm off, John Travolta looks at it, and he's just like, what a fucking rat brain. He's just so irritated by it.
John Travolta, you need to step back and stop.
Just be humble.
It's time to stop calling people rat brains. They just nuked your entire office, okay?
Your entire home planet.
I don't know what you're drunk on Kerbango if you're still sitting there being like, he's too stupid to do anything else. I'm pretty sure Johnny Goodboy just proved that he's not, that you made
the
a big
whole
flaw.
Whole thing is falling apart. His whole planet's been nuked. Pretty sure you're the rat brain now, bud. Okay. So they win. The humans win. This little band of humans, they win. End of story. There's like a dramatic reunion with him and his woman, and you kind of forgot that she existed because she was only in the movie for like 2 whole minutes before. So the movie ends with a shot of John Travolta in a cage, you know, a square, like a cage, and he's in Fort Knox, okay? So he's surrounded by gold bars. In his cage.
Oh, Johnny, good boy, that is cruel. You know that's all John Travolta wanted.
And John Travolta goes,
why don't you vaporize me?
And Johnny Goodboy goes,
leverage.
Oh my god, this movie is so fucking stupid.
He really has risen above the cycles.
But I want to know what happened to Kerr.
Okay, well,
because that's the one last thing. Where's Kerr in all of this?
Funny you should ask. Okay, so John Travolta's in a cage, surrounded by gold bars, and then while he's talking to Johnny Goodboy, and Johnny Goodboy is now like, oh, who's got the leverage now? Kerr walks in behind him, and John Travolta's like, yes, Kerr is going to save me. Oh, no, 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 no.
No, bitch. I've got my Kerbango. I've got my glass straw. I'm stirring it. Look where you are now.
Look
at the irony. The CEO told me to tell you that the other CEO heard that you were in a cage.
And he told me to tell you that you were in a cage for a reason. And he told me that if you told me that you were in a cage and it was all a misunderstanding, not to believe you and to vaporize you on the spot.
Oh, and not to mention, I'm sleeping with the CEO's daughter now.
And I got promoted for it, not fired.
CEO said I had leverage. And then he just slams the door, walks away, tosses his hair, his dreads.
His dreads.
He slips his dreads. Girl, bye.
So Kerr walks in. He's holding a gun. You think he's going to shoot the humans and save John Travolta, but nope, nope, nope. He hands the gun to Johnny Goodboy and he goes, here, should be working just fine now. Johnny Goodboy walks out the door and Kerr tells John Travolta,
what kind of crap lousy game are you playing?
So I'm teaching them all about our technology. They made me the head cyclone.
And then the movie ends.
I'm all Kerr, buddy. I'm not jealous. Did you see what just happened when we tried to make a human head of gold transportation? They outsmarted us. They bombed us. They killed everything you know. I would be like, Kerr, you're not really winning in this situation.
None of your family is left.
I have
There's
a feeling.
Left
I have
you.
A little suspicion that they're going to get you to teach them about their technology and then use it to kill other people.
And then you might end up locked in this cage.
And then you might, exactly, with no Kerbango, with no gossip, with no bartender, and no gold. Oh, Kerr, learn your lesson.
He's trying to be so sassy because he's like, think about it, boss. At least you finally got what you always wanted, your gold. And I'm like, is that really the attitude?
Is that what he really wanted? I thought he just wanted to get a cyclo. Like, we never knew what he really wanted. It didn't make any sense.
And Kerr really thinks, like, he really thinks that he's like, taking a step towards leadership. Like, he's finally like, I'm in charge.
Now that everyone's dead. Now that their whole home office is dead. Yeah, you really did a good job.
This is a side note that I just remembered that I meant to bring up earlier. But they say the word crap lousy in this movie.
Crap lousy. They say corporate off. They say corporate. They say they home say office. They say lousy, but crap leverage.
Incorporated to so many other things. It's kind of, it's almost a little bit distracting because you're like, why are these cyclos saying this? Because the reason I got reminded is because in the very end, John Travolta's like, what kind of crap lousy idea is this? As he's like in the cage. And it reminded me the whole time. They're crap saying lousy. Crap lousy or crap something
they're
or another.
Aliens. They speak different languages. They don't know our human words.
No, they don't. They can't get them through their skull bones.
They can't get it through our skull bones.
So that's it. Right. I mean, that's it.
That was the good movie. If you guys are interested in a space office drama where you and if you want to learn about leverage and good plans, Battlefield
and corporate fraud.
And corporate fraud. And the gossip Tax going evasion. Around the office of what the CEO heard from his daughter. Battlefield Earth is the movie to watch.
All right. The saga,
Saga, yes. I hope it continues. I think they were trying to make it continue with him being locked in the cage. They were like, oh, we got some sequels coming.
Oh, I will fucking gladly watch any sequels.
Thousands
that come
of times.
This.
This movie is the most ridiculously dumb movie.
Use
in
it
the
as
world.
Leverage over your friend.
Yeah, use it as I bet a lot of people are using this movie as leverage over John Travolta's career.
Oh, good one.
All right, guys. Well, anyway, it was fun. This was a good movie. Hope you enjoyed
it. I love it so much. Thanks for listening.
All right. See you next week.
This crap lousy podcast.
Crap lousy podcast. Bye.
Bye.
Dumbest movie ever. So, hearing me say it is so
I'm
stupid.
I'm literally already crying. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to jump into it.